Good evening. You're welcome along to another edition of The Score. The sun is shining. Perhaps you're on your way home from the beach or maybe heading to training ahead of your big game this weekend. Wherever you are, hopefully we can keep you company for the next hour because we've a busy show lined up. There's loads happening. The Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Senior Football Championship gets up and running this weekend. 8 matches in total, and these come after the junior and intermediate competitions started last weekend. Tom Comack will preview the action. There's golf too. We'll hear from John Casey of Rosapenna Golf Club, where preparations are ramping up ahead of the Irish Golf Legends event next week. And we'll be joined in studio by Peter O'Donnell and Jude Gallagher, the new Commonwealth Boxing Golf Gold medalist. The talented Tyrone Mann will be here to look back on what's been a brilliant week in Birmingham. All that to come. But we're going to start this evening with League of Ireland football. Keith Cowan is with me in studio. Keith, great to have you. Another big weekend ahead. Derry City hosting Shamrock Rovers. And then at the other end of the table, it's Harps travelling to UCD. And I'd suggest that, Keith, it's a game really that neither side can afford to lose.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Dermot. Both teams will be looking for 3 points. For the team slightly above that, it'd be great if it was a draw. I suppose speaking for myself there, really.
Yeah.
I think we'll draw it. But yeah, massive result for Harps last week. They'll be full of confidence going into it. And again, with their strikers picking up a few goals as well. But I think it's kind of come to the point in the season now where these are games that you can't lose if you're looking to avoid that relegation spot or even the playoff spot.
Yeah, because that victory that Harps had over Drogheda last weekend, Keith, it came at such an important time because they had gone so long without a win. But all of a sudden, it's given people, you know, we're thinking, you know, can Harps manage to string a few more victories together?
Yeah, I think the fact, I suppose, the manner of the victory as well, you know, it was quite convincing. It was a 3-0 win. You know, as I said, you know, one of your strikers picking up 2 goals, you know, and I suppose it was the manner of which the goals were scored in. You know, I think we spoke about just off air there about, you know, one of the build up to the goal, you know, a nice pass and flow and move and then, you know, finish off really well, you know, which wouldn't really kind of, I suppose, strike you as a Finn Harps goal. You know, usually it's kind of a long ball up and a flick on or maybe a set piece. But I suppose Harps fans will be really impressed on the manner of the victory, the manner of the goals, and, you know, they'll be full of confidence heading up to UCD tomorrow night.
They will. Well, they've moved on to 15 points in the Premier Division, Keith. 2 points clear now of UCD. And listen, there's still quite a way to go in this season. Around about, 11 more games for both Harps and UCD. But this is a big one tomorrow night. I mean, were Harps to win tomorrow night, all of a sudden the gap will be out to 5 points?
Yeah, you know, as I say, these are the games that you have to look at to capitalise on. We've seen, I suppose, if you look at the games that Harps and UCD have had this season already, UCD have went to Finn Park and got a 1-0 win. I think it was the first game of the season. Harps played UCD down in Belfield and it was a 0-0. I suppose if you look, as I mentioned before there, you know, a 3-0 win last week, and I think by all accounts the Bowes game as well, you know, they had played really well. They had a new keeper in that night. McKeown came in from, I think it was Grimsby, across the water there, so he's come in and apparently he didn't have a great game on the Friday before, but really redeemed himself with a couple of big saves last Friday night. So as I say, you know, those new signings seem to have come in and settled well. So look, I think it's kind of almost a different side. If we look, maybe like 4 or 5 changes in terms of the team that have, you know, played previously. So as I say, look, they'll be going there with loads of confidence. They'll be thinking that, you know, this is a game that we need to win, and, you know, I expect a tough game.
Yeah, well, listen, given the fact that you have seen both Harps and UCD in recent weeks, Keith, what way do you see it going tomorrow night? I mean, you know, Harps produced a fine performance last Friday night, but UCD are a good side as well.
They are indeed, you know, and especially in Belfield, you know, they're used to the setup there, the use of the pitch. It can be different for teams going there. You know, there's not much of an atmosphere. You know, there's not big crowds. There's not, you know, they wouldn't have obviously a big, you know, kind of home support, UCD, and you can sort of be lured into that sort of, you know, relaxed type of atmosphere that is created there. So they'll have to, you know, they'll have to create their own motivation within the dressing room. They know how valuable the game is. UCD in recent weeks have picked up points as well, and they always play good football. Look, they're a good young side, and you know, you've Willie O'Connor up there, you know, who's ex Finn Harps, who has worked a long time with Ollie, and you know, we'll know the approach. He'll know what'll be said in that dressing room, and maybe vice versa, because Ollie will obviously know what Willie's about too. And you know, I just think that it's going to be a really tight affair. Both teams that we mentioned, you know, they won't want to give anything up early on. You know, the first goal is crucial, like in most games. But you know, I expect a difficult evening for UCD given the run that Harps are on.
Okay, well, listen, you weren't in the squad last week for Drogheda against Harps, but you were there, Keith. You're back available for selection tomorrow night. Drogheda against Shelburne, a big game for you guys. Two sides that have been kind of nip and tuck at that end of the table as well, and I'm sure Drogheda will be looking to get back to. Back to winning ways and to get a good performance tomorrow.
Yeah, look, you always want to bounce back after defeat, and I suppose the manner of the defeat as well last Friday, and you know, we couldn't wait to get back in Monday to, you know, to try and just get those cobwebs dusted off, and you know, to try and, I suppose, have a look at what we need to change, and you know, what we need to look at differently, and what didn't work for us. And you know, Shell is a team that we've, you know, we're just kind of sitting them behind. I think we're 4 points behind them. They have a few games in hand on us, but it's a team that we're looking to catch, you know. And I suppose with Harps' win last week, it's sort of, you know, they've sort of pushed a little closer to us, so we have to, that maybe cushion that we had before, we have to kick on now, and you know, sort of maybe look at this as an opportunity to close the gap in front of us.
And how has the move worked out for you, Keith, then, to Drogheda? I mean, that was a new chapter in your career when you decided to join them. Happy enough?
Yeah, look, Drogheda's a great club. You know, there's a lot of great people down there. You know, you get welcomed every time you come down. You know, they appreciate the effort, I suppose, with the journey and that. And I've been treated excellently, look, by the management, by the people around the club. I'm enjoying my football down there. It's been, you know, I say, we come away with some really big wins there against big teams, maybe, you know, and maybe it was a chapter of my career that I thought was closed, and you know, I was playing football up north with Dungannon, and I was enjoying that. But I suppose, you know, the opportunity to get a crack back at the League of Ireland and, you know, test yourself at the highest level was just too good to turn down.
Yeah, and you got a decent draw in the next round of the FAI Cup as well. Shamrock Rovers at home, but as you were saying off air, Drogheda have beaten Shamrock Rovers. I've played well, as you say, against the big teams in the Premier Division.
Yeah, you know, we have, and I suppose that's kind of disappointing. We're disappointed where it's, you know, it's not a case that we're not able to compete, and you know, we've taken, you know, we were able to beat Dundalk twice in the Louth Derby, which is a massive result, and obviously beat Shamrock Rovers last time out, and then, you know, go to Tala and get a draw there as well, and maybe lucky not to win that game either. So, you know, but it's the teams around you that you want to be beaten, and that you want to, I suppose, you kind of find that, you know, it really does test your level, because you can raise your game at times, you know, and I suppose the bigger teams would look at us and maybe think, you know, it's a step down for them, and they'd be taking their foot off the gas. So it's when you're beating the teams in and around you that you really think that, you know what, like, we have a decent side here, and, you know, it's all about progression.
Well, your game tomorrow night against Shelburne is one of four in the Premier Division. Bowes against Dundalk, and the other one that really catches the eye is Derry City against Shamrock Rovers. Always a big fixture, this one, Keith. And given the fact that Derry, well, they looked on their way to victory last week, didn't they, until they conceded late on against Dundalk. But, I mean, were they to beat Shamrock Rovers tomorrow night, they would close the gap on Rovers to just 5 points. And, of course, Rovers have one eye on all what's happening in Europe too. So it's another big game.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, looking at that fixture earlier, and you know, Rovers back off their European ploys there, you know, I think it was an excellent achievement for them to get into the next round of Europe, and you know, Ferencváros is a huge tie for them, and you know, the money and everything else that comes with that. There'll be a bit of extra niggle on this one as well, because I think Rovers wanted the game moved to a Saturday or a Sunday, and Derry was like, no, Rory Higgins said, no, we're staying Friday night. You know, Friday nights are really important for us, you know, with the atmosphere, and I think he's 100% right. You know, I think sometimes exceptions can be made too much for European, for the lads that are playing in Europe to move, and I think if they were to do that, you know, it would really benefit Shamrock Rovers and not benefit Derry City. So I think they were right to hold their ground, and you know, maybe not to, you know, to have that request of moving a day later. So there'll be an extra bit of a niggle on that one as well. You know, massive opportunity for Derry, you know, to get them. Hopefully there will be a bit of a hangover on Shamrock Rovers' side because they've had that extra day's travel and they have, you know, less time to prepare, and I'm sure the legs will be slightly heavy coming back off that game. But look, they've got a massive squad, and they've done all they've done through Europe without Jack Byrne this year, who's their extra who's by far their best player, and I think that's a great achievement. So, you know, him arriving back, I think he was in the squad the last night out in Macedonia. So I think if they can get him back into the squad, and, you know, with the likes of the players that they have, you know, with the likes of Richie Tyle and Gaffney up front and all that there. So, you know, I think it's a game where they maybe need to, if Derry are looking to catch Rovers, this is the one they need to get them on Friday night and hopefully get 3 points.
Yeah, because it's a relentless run of games for Shamrock Rovers and indeed for St Pat's and Sligo, both of whom are in action tonight. St Pat's kicking off against CSKA Sofia at 7:45. The game, by the way, at the Showgrounds, up and running 15 minutes in. Sligo Rovers against Viking of Norway. No goals yet in that second leg, but remember, Viking won the first leg by 5-1. Keith, great to have you in studio. Best luck tomorrow night, and hopefully yourself and Drogheda can produce the goods against Shells. By the way, UCD against Harps, we have full match commentary from that game at the Belfield Bowl. Oisin Langan and Declan Boyle will be on commentary from 7:40. It's a 7:45 start that game tomorrow night. Well, the Irish Golf Legends event returns to the fabulous Rosapenna Golf Club next week, and it promises to be even bigger and better than the 2021 event, which, despite the restrictions because of COVID-19, was still a major success. Earlier on, I caught up with John Casey of Rosapenna Golf Club, who was happy to set the scene as the build-up to the event continues.
Yeah, the whole build process is happening right now. So there's a company from Galway here building all the tentage. They're getting ready. A lot of planning went into the event, creating the car park areas, and obviously a lot of work went into the course with Chris Breen and his team as they prepare for next week's event.
Yeah, and last year, of course, COVID had a major impact on the event, didn't it? Which, while it was very enjoyable for those of us who were lucky enough to attend, John, the fact that spectators are allowed in this year will make it all the more special.
Yeah, the event will have a totally different feel to it this year as spectators are allowed in. Pro-Am Day, Celebrity Pro-Am Day, and obviously the three tournament days as well, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So from a logistical standpoint, the build, the whole thing that the Legends Tour are doing down here is totally different to cater for the general public as they come in to see all the players and celebrities through the week.
And I'm sure that all brings an extra challenge for you guys, John.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. It's great to be able to have an event like this at Rosapenna and have everybody coming to see the players and the celebrities. So, I mean, from our point of view, like last year was fine. It was a great event. And, you know, we had a great winner in Thomas Bjorn, and it went very well. But I suppose with the absence of spectators, you just don't have that atmosphere towards the end. But, you know, the fact that we were able to have the event last year with so much uncertainty surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic, it was great to be able to have it. We still had Sky Sports here that were able to produce their highlights programme that was on a couple of nights after the event. So it's just great to kind of move on and have it this year with spectators.
Yeah, and that Sky Sports coverage, John, you know, we all watched it after the event. I mean, it was fantastic, wasn't it? It's the kind of coverage that you couldn't buy, because I'm sure the follow-on from that is that, you know, people all of a sudden are wondering, where is Rosapenna and can they come and visit? Did Rosapenna gain anything from that in terms of new visitors?
It dates back to 2018 when the Irish Open was in Ballyliffin, and it was absolutely fantastic for Donegal to have the spotlight on in Ballyliffin, and they did a great highlight of the entire county. And obviously our great ambassador Paul McGinley talked about ourselves and Ballyliffin and Port Salon and the great Lynx product that we have here in Donegal. And similarly, last year, Georgie Bingham interviewed Paul around the course and just talking about here and talking about Donegal, and showed a lot of drone imagery of Sheephaven Bay and the entire area. So it was great. I mean, it's great that we have the support of Paul McGinley, and he really keeps the focus on Donegal, and he's a great ambassador, as I said, for Donegal. And then we have the County Council as well. You know, the County Council are very tourism-focused and are very supportive of the event. Gary Martin and his team have been fantastic for us as we've been working with the Legends Tour over the last couple of years. So being able to get that focus and attention and seeing Donegal, you know, as a tourist destination on Sky Sports is just a dream come true.
Yeah, and I remember Paul saying last year, John, that, you know, his hope would be to have a festival to coincide with the Legends Series down in Downings, and I know Donegal County Council, as you say, and other agencies have come on board as well. And that festival, it'll be a brilliant backdrop to the golf.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic. Nathan Carter, I mean, securing Nathan Carter to play here on the Saturday night after the kind of culmination of the golf tournament is just fantastic, and it's great work by Donegal County Council that they're able to pull all that together. So really, people coming to Downings for the day can come and spend the afternoon watching the Legends Tour golf, and then in the early evening make their way down just across the grass area across to the Downings GA pitch. And Downings GA very kindly lent their pitch to the Donegal County Council to host the concert, and not forgetting the concert that's on the Friday night with the Moonies. That'll be another great occasion. But I think Saturday night with Nathan Carter will really be a big event, and we'll have a huge crowd there to see it.
Yeah, and the admission prices, well, the concerts are free, aren't they? But in relation to the golf, admission prices very reasonable too, John. And for those planning to attend, the golf starts on Tuesday. What exactly is the schedule for the week?
Yeah, so the Pro-Am's on Tuesday. So there's a Championship Pro-Am in the morning, and then the Celebrity Pro-Am tees off in the afternoon. So there'll be a range of different celebrities from the world of sport and television. Entertainment will be here that afternoon. And then there's nothing on the Wednesday. Wednesday's just a little bit of a practice day for some of the pros. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday is the tournament proper. So every morning, kind of from early morning until around lunchtime, the players tee off. So, I mean, you can come and watch golf all day. And then, as I said, go to the concerts in the evening that are very, very kindly supported and run by the Donegal County Council.
Yeah, and it was quite strange last year being part of the media setup down there, John. My memory of it is being able to kind of stand at the edge of the 18th green and actually get to interview some of the players as they were making their way off after finishing their round, you know. So I know it will be different this year, but the spectators will still get the chance to get up close to the players and see the action.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think there'll be plenty of opportunity. There's going to be, you know, there's 62, I think, professionals in the field. So they'll have a great opportunity to be on both sides of the golf course and seeing the players and watching them here at Drossapenna.
Right, okay. Well, listen, best luck now for the few days ahead, and fingers crossed that the good weather will stick around, John, and everything goes well.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. That's John Casey there of Rossapenna Golf Club. That really was a fabulous event last year. Really enjoyed it. And if you're thinking about going along to that next week, well, you should try and get along, because it's an opportunity to see some really top names in golf, and indeed celebrities in action as well down there at the fabulous Rossapenna Golf Club. Well, the Commonwealth Games came to a memorable conclusion on Sunday, and it's an event that will live long in the memory of Jude Gallagher. The Newton Stewart man continued his magnificent run of success in the sport by taking gold in the men's featherweight division. Jude joins me in studio along with Rafoe Boxing Club coach Gary McCullough. Gentlemen, you're very welcome. Jude, wow. I don't think I've ever interviewed a Commonwealth champion before. Congratulations. It was a brilliant achievement.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a brilliant achievement. Had a really, really, really good tournament. Had three tough fights. Didn't end now the way I wanted. The end, two opponents pulling out in the semi-final and final. But again, had three top performances against three top lads, and very happy with that.
Yeah, and heading to the games, Jude, you were confident of success. You were involved in that special training camp. I know you referred to that in some of your interviews before you headed for Birmingham. And that's the kind of preparation that you need in order to be successful.
Yeah, we had a very good training camp. 12 weeks or so, I think. We were based up in Belfast in Georgetown. We've been to Assisi in Italy. We were out there for 2 weeks, top-class sparring against Americans, Italians, world medalists, European medalists. So the sparring was second to none. Then we were back in Italy again for fights. Put on a good performance out in Italy. Got a good win out there. And then Eindhoven, we're in Holland also in the lead up to the games. And again, two good performances out there. Took home the gold medal, so I was happy with that. And training camp in Belfast was, I mean, just can't thank the coaches enough. I mean, it was a long 8 weeks. At the start of it, we were sitting up in the Balmoral Hotel in Belfast. That's where we're based, and we were saying we were in for a long run at the start of it all, but I mean, to look back on it now, it's just flew in.
Yeah, I can imagine. And the camp is designed really to get you to your top level, your peak fitness, mentally and physically.
Yeah, well, there's different stages of the camp. I mean, at the start, it's a lot of conditioning work at the start. You know, they bring you right up to speed, and then more closer to the competition, they taper you down. The final 2 weeks of prep, we had a multi-nation sparring camp in Belfast. So all the nations going to the Commonwealth Games came over for 2 weeks in Belfast, and we had top class sparring. I mean, I sparred two of my opponents that I fought in the Commonwealth Games in Belfast 2 weeks prior. So, I mean, that was massive help, because that we could go back, analyse the footage, come up with a game plan, and the coach's game plan every time was amazing, which played a big factor in them fights, helping me win them fights.
Yeah. Well, Gary, you have been working with Jude over the years. Peter O'Donnell's with us as well here up in Highland this evening. You guys have been watching his career in recent years. I'm sure when you see him being so successful at such a high level, it probably doesn't really come as a surprise to you guys.
No, it doesn't come as a shock to us now, because as you say, I've known Jude now since he's 10 or 11. Like, he's come a long way. He's 13 national titles under his belt, European and world bronze youth medals. Like, so no surprise to us. And he's an Irish elite champion 2 years ago, 52 kilos. So it's no surprise to us.
Yeah,
definitely some talent there, and there's plenty more to give yet.
But no matter, you know, you can be good, but you have to have the proper attitude. The coaches can be good and everything, but I mean, it's Jude that goes into the ring, nobody
that's
else.
It. Yeah. So here, it's as I said there last night to one of the lads, as you get out of boxing when you put on it, and Jude just, as he said, eight week sacrifice, and come back with a gold medal.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Well, when you look back at the competition then and the games themselves, Jude, your opening fight. I think I wouldn't say it was handy, I'm sure, but it went your way, let's put it that way, a unanimous points victory, and that set you up nicely for your next challenge against the English boxer Niall Farrell, a tough opponent by all accounts, but again, you came through in style.
Yeah, that's right. My first fight, good fighting, it's a tough lad from Swaziland, really strong hitter, but again, good performance, got the one, and then coming up against the English boxer from Birmingham. I mean, I knew he was coming up against it in his own backyard, but just went out, just stayed focused, just looked at the task in hand and went out and delivered.
So then it was a Pakistan opponent, Ilyas Hussain, a 5-0 points victory in the quarterfinal. I mean, everything was going your way.
Yeah, I mean, with every fight that I had, I just seemed to be gaining more momentum. I was getting better with every fight. I mean, 3 fights in 6 days. I mean, I was flying. Like, I really was starting to come into myself, like, and getting the best of myself. But again, just at this point, not to get that semi-final and final, which I mean, I'm sure would have, my performance levels would have raised again. But
yeah,
no, I'm very happy with them first three fights. I mean, they performed very well.
So explain to us then what actually happens in that situation, Jude. You were guaranteed a bronze medal qualifying for a semi-final, but that semi-final didn't actually take place because the opponent, he withdrew from the fight.
Yeah, that's right. Had the bronze medal secured, but I mean, it didn't mean much because I wanted the gold medal. So on the morning of the weigh-in, I weighed in, and my coaches knew, they got word from the Canadian coaches that my opponent wouldn't be fighting. He felt sick, he was very ill in the morning away, and but I mean, they didn't tell me until just before I got in, was due to step into the ring just after I finished my warm up. They says, listen, your opponent's not fighting, he's sick, but they says they didn't want to tell me just in case he came around, you know, and yes, then maybe I had to step in. So
right, yeah.
I mean, I was looking forward to getting in, and he was a good opponent too, very good opponent. Would have been a very good fight. Sparred him twice in Belfast 2 weeks prior to that, and very, very tricky opponent. They sparred, probably gave me my best spar in Belfast, and the next morning, that means I was free to the final. Had he prepared for the final, I made weight the next morning. Made weight, got breakfast, went back to bed, was in bed, woke up by knocking at the door, and the coaches were at the door, and I says, oh, is this going to be the game plan for the day? For they discussed the game plan for the fight early in that day, and they says, aye, it is, surely. And then they called me in, they says, oh, this has nothing to do with your game plan. He says, your opponent's pulled out, he took sick, or he didn't make weight, one or another, I'm not sure Yeah. Exactly, won another anyway, but that he says, you'll not be fighting today, but you're a Commonwealth champion. But it was disappointing, for I wanted to get on that finals night and fight in front of everybody for a lot of support that came over, and for them not to see one fight, but they missed my semi-final and final. Like, it was wee bit disappointing, but we still got to see them after it, like, and they understood, you know, and so we celebrated well after it.
Yeah, and that's the big question. What is the feeling whenever you're told that, okay, on one hand you're a gold medal winner, but yeah, I haven't got the opportunity to fight for that medal? It's probably mixed feelings.
It's very mixed. At first, you know, I was sort of thinking, well, Commonwealth champion, then I was thinking, I'm not going to get in the fight on finals night, because it's a big experience too to get in on the final night, and the arena that night was mental. I mean,
yeah.
I was jealous whenever I was watching the wrestler boys and girls fight. You know, I was saying, geez, I wish I was in there and my hands getting raised tonight, but hey, there's nothing I could have done. Just, I went out there for a gold medal anyway, and I'm coming back with one. I'm happy enough with that.
Yeah. Well, listen, Gary, this man, one of 7 boxers out of 12 from Northern Ireland who came back with medals. I mean, that's some going.
That's unreal. It's unreal. But as Jude missed his semi-final and his final, he probably beat the number one boxer, the Niall Farrell, the English lad. Like, the hype about him was unreal.
Yeah.
And you know him because we were over with his father and the other. He's an unreal talent. And he just went in and just blew him away. He just destroyed him. Like, so.
Yeah.
So I'd be saying him, I wouldn't be so downhearted, because he beat probably the best lad on.
Yeah.
You know?
And the thing about that fight, he was on home territory, wasn't he? He would have had the home support, so you were really up against it.
Really big support over him now. Whenever I walked in, could hear the arena, like, just went mad for him, you know. It was, but the coach is telling me, he says, hey, don't worry about it, there's nothing they can do. It's only going to be you and him in the ring, they can't do nothing. And that just, there's something that stuck with me in the head, and I just knew, I'd just go in here and stick it on him early.
Yeah. Well, listen, are you a boxer that, I mean, is there nerves there, Jude, before a big fight? I mean, Commonwealth Games, I mean, that is it's one of the top stages that you can box on. But is that something that you embrace? Is it something you go in and enjoy?
I definitely, if every fighter gets nervous, if they tell you they don't, they're lying. So, I mean, no, but they're good, like, they're good. You can use them to your advantage, but it's just knowing how to control them and just staying focused. I mean, not getting overwhelmed by everything. I mean, could have easily got overwhelmed after that one against the English fella, but I knew at that stage I still had no medal. I still had potentially 3 fights to go, so I had to regroup again and focus on my next fight, and then hopefully the fight after that. So
yeah,
a lot comes under it. Like, you just have to stay level headed and ground yourself very quickly.
Yeah. Gary, Jude mentioned the fact that there were so many supporters went over to watch the semi-final and final, didn't actually get to see him in action, but I'm sure plenty of them were there on Monday night for the homecoming celebrations in Newton Stewart. That was another night to remember.
Oh, aye. And I'd say all the lads that travelled over didn't matter. Was it like he had 3 hard fights and he came back with a gold medal? And
yeah. But it shows the support and the interest that's there. I mean, we do love to see our own doing so well.
Oh, definitely, without a doubt. From all the sports, like, everybody was involved in the homecoming now.
Yeah.
I wasn't there myself now, but... Like, yeah. Everybody was there, and that's just great. It's great for everybody. It's great for boxing.
Yeah, and I was, when we were preparing for tonight's programme, I was talking to Peter O'Donnell earlier on today, Gary, and one of the things that strikes me always with boxing is that there's this unique relationship between boxers here in the Northwest. Like, Jude is from Newton Stewart in County Tyrone, but you guys are Donegal, but it doesn't seem to matter. No. You know, there's a bond there.
We're
that's
like a big family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not there in other sports, really, is it?
No, it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Definitely not. Like, if we go to do something, like a trip away, so we go to Birmingham, and we're like, we always go to Two Castles, we go to Cookstown.
Yeah.
And our local clubs, like, Kenny Convey, like, because we all know everybody. But, like, as you said, you don't do that with football.
No, but you're promoting the sport. Yeah. Yous are all in it together.
Yeah.
Okay, yous may be coming up against each other at times, but at the end of the day, yous are all in it for the one purpose.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly,
yeah. And things in Rafal going well, Gary? I know there's a bit of development going on there at the minute.
Well, actually, we have a boxer on tomorrow. Tiernan Conwell fights tomorrow night in the quarterfinal under National Under-18s.
Yeah.
Welterweight, 67 kg. He helped last weekend, and his opponent didn't, again, fail to turn up after us going up for the night, but she worked, nothing you can do about it, so we're back up for the quarterfinals against a very good southpaw, a Dublin lad now, but yeah, Tiernan's very good. So
right, when we wish him, we wish him well.
Yeah.
For you, Jude, I'm sure a wee bit of downtime now after such a busy period, but next for you then, is it back to the Nationals again? Is that the this year's National Elites?
That's right, I have a bit of downtime now, and then the National Elites are in November, and they're a big one this year for If you get that number one spot, you'll be selected to go to the Olympic qualifiers next year. So Paris is just in 2024, so the qualifying year will be just next year. So big year coming up.
Right, right. And Paris is very much on the radar for you?
Definitely, yes. It's always been a dream and a goal of mine to go to the Olympics ever since I started boxing. And for it just to be so close now, to be within my grasp, I just want to take it with both hands now.
Yeah. Well, listen, fair play to you. I'm sure your family, your friends, all very proud, because this is a special time for you in your career. I mean, it's been good up until now, but this is probably as good as it's ever been.
It is, definitely. Everybody's just overwhelmed and just so happy for me. Even at the homecoming there, I mean, the support that turned out for me was unreal. Everybody coming out and wishing me well for all my fights out in the Commonwealth has been unreal. I mean, getting together in the pub watching my fights any night of the week, doesn't matter what night it was. I think they're open late after them,
Yeah.
I mean, the homecoming the other day, I mean, was something special, something I'll never forget. It was probably up there one of the best nights of my life. It was overwhelming now, definitely.
Right. Okay, well, listen, it's great to meet you, Jude. It's been a pleasure speaking to you, and Gary as well. Thanks very much for coming in, Gary.
One wee thing here, Peter O'Donnell asked me to read it out.
Yes.
So the Donegal Boxing Awards will be on Saturday the 17th of September in the Villa Rose Hotel, Balfe. Special guest tonight will be our Commonwealth Games gold medalist, Jude, and the Golden Boy, Jason Quigley, and Charlie Nash as well from Derry. And any tickets, you just want to get them, any club affiliated in Donegal.
Okay, thank you, Gary, and to Jude, and to Peter as well. Thanks, boys, for coming in this evening. And
thanks, Jeremy.
And it's great to meet you. Well, the Donegal Intermediate and Junior Championships in Gaelic Games got up and running in Donegal last weekend, and there was some really exciting action on the opening weekend. I know that we've got Peter Campbell's interview in the computer there, Joe. This coming weekend, the games continue in those two competitions, and there's action too in the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Senior Championship. And St Eunan's will open the defence of their crown with a home tie against St Noel's, one of eight matches this weekend in the Senior Championship. Tom Comack has been previewing the action with the Donegal Democrats, Peter Campbell.
Yeah, it's great to get back. I suppose there's been a lull. I see where Brian McAniff was saying it's 6 weeks since Bundoran played. It's probably maybe 2 months since Gidor played. It's teams will probably be itching at the bit, and I suppose most of them have been playing challenge matches in preparation. And I know Ballyshannon and Bundoran have been playing teams from Derry and teams from Sligo over the last couple of weeks. So I'd say they're all ready for action at this stage.
Well, 16 teams are heading out this weekend. How many of them really are realistic championship contenders, Peter?
There's only a handful for to take the Dr. Maguire home. Three, four. I see where Jared McGranner says it's down to three now, and he's probably right. Gidor have gone back a bit, and they've been hit by injuries, and it's difficult to actually see them being able to compete, but you know, the old Gidor spirit might come back. But you're talking about the holder, St Eunan's, who had a quiet enough league campaign, seemed to be using it as a stepping stone for championship. And then you have Kilcar and Niamh Connell, who contested the league final. And if you were to give anyone €100 and send them to the bookies, I think they'd be looking for the odds on those three first before they'd go anywhere else.
Peter, so this is the top three are there. It's obviously Niamh Connell, Kilcar, St Eunan's, whichever way you want to put it. St Eunan's the champions. So you mentioned Gidor. Is there anybody else out there, the possible contenders for that fourth spot?
It's very difficult at this stage to see who. There's a good number of teams that would probably be in contention for the fourth spot. St Michael's will always be mentioned. You know, they have Tyrell Langan is going to be in the running. Glenn Finn probably coming back this year. They're getting stronger year on year, and two minors, Sean Ward and Luke McGlynn, into their starting 15 this year. They would look to be contenders.
Yeah, Aero, your own club as well. Obviously, they were in contention for the league right up to the finish.
Yeah, it's maybe a false position for them because they didn't have any county players, and I know they worked very well under the new manager, John McNulty, and competed very well against the bigger teams as well, to be fair to them. But, you know, this is going to be a big test for them to be playing against the big guns with county players. But, yeah, you'd expect. But they'll have their hands full in the opening game.
Yeah.
When they meet Pandoran on Sunday.
Yeah, that's a local derby.
Yeah, it's probably the big game of the weekend. Maybe it and the Killybegs-Glenfinn game. They're probably the two most attractive games. The Ballyshannon-Bundoran game, like once the draw was made, everybody said that was probably the tie of the first round. And, you know, since then they have met in the league in Bundoran, and it ended in a draw, albeit, I suppose, Eirua probably should have won, but they conceded three goals. I would be thinking that goals might not be on the agenda for Sunday, because I'd say both teams probably will be a lot more defensive than they were in that league game. I think for that league game, I think both teams were, well, Bundoran were safe at that stage as well, and Eirua probably were playing for second place or hoping for maybe to get to the Democrat Cup final, but it was only a slim possibility for them. And actually, very well contested game that evening, and there was quite a few neutrals there who really enjoyed it. And like a lot of games at the end of the league, you know, a lot of the finals as well, teams probably let themselves play football for a while, but you know, once the championship comes, you know, it'll be trying to stop. Back to this defensive football that Donegal have, and I'd just be worried about it. It's another factor, I suppose, in all the games at this weekend is this severe heat that we're in at the moment, and I think that's going to last until maybe Saturday, Sunday, so it's going to be probably a factor in all of the games.
And you know, we had water breaks during COVID. Is there any provision for that, or is it allowed in the rules?
I don't know if there is, but you know, I'd say maybe it might be at the discretion of referees. And I think Brian McKinniff actually mentioned it in his column in the Democrat this week as well, that it might not be a bad idea. And I'm not sure if I think the referee probably could allow it, especially in very extreme conditions that we have at the moment.
You mentioned Jamie Brennan in America in that Boston final. I think there's a few Donegal players, maybe not so many from senior clubs, but there are a good few Donegal players in that final.
There will be, but I think Jamie's probably the biggest member of, and he's actually playing for McInnesby's against Donegal Boston, quite a few on the Donegal Boston team. But, you know, the others, the ones involved in Philadelphia, Patrick Morgan, Oisin Gallen, and those, they probably will be home, which is a boost for St. Nolles and McCool this weekend.
You mentioned St. Nolles, they're away to the champions, St. Junans.
Huge task for them. And you couldn't actually see them competing. They've been gone through a very, very poor season this year. And then, you know, you add in the fact that Stephen Griffin will be missing on Saturday. He got sent off when St. Nolles actually played St. Junans in the quarterfinal last year. The St. Nolles had done so well to get to the quarterfinal, and then he got sent off in the first minute. And the penalty for him will be to miss this game on Saturday. Albeit against St. Junans again, but on the form lines, even if Patrick Morgan's back, on the form lines of what we know this year, and it seems like an easy open, you'd expect them to win.
We're tight for time, Peter. Just quickly running through the rest of the games. The three games on Saturday, we mentioned St. Junans and Alls there. For Masters Slaughany Lee, how do you see that one going?
Yeah, that's one of the games that will be very, very close. You know, you would expect that Four Masters at home this year, I think, have done quite well. They've improved a lot from last year when I think they were relying on some of the older players, but they brought through a batch of young players. Now, whether they're ready for senior championship. It's hard to know, but Nick Clohanealy have been there or thereabouts over the last number of years. They're a very, very battle hardened team, and I think this probably will be a close game. I won't be surprised if it goes either way. If I was tipping, I'd say maybe Four Masters might cause a shock at home.
And the other game on Saturday evening is St Michael's at the Bridge entertaining Sean McCool's.
And that actually could, I'd say St Michael's would be the bookies' favourites playing at home. But I wouldn't be surprised if McCool's were to turn them over as well. But, it's difficult to go to the Bridge. And if St Michael's are going to harbour any thoughts of being involved in the later stages, they have to win that one. I probably think that they might just shade it, but maybe not that much, especially if Oisin Gallen is back.
And just moving on then to Sunday, we have Killybegs at home to Glenfenn, who have done very well up in Division 1 this season.
Yes, and that's, I think this may be the third time in maybe 5 years that Glenfenn have been drawn against Killybegs in Fintra. And they've won the previous two occasions they've been down there. And I won't be surprised if they win again. We don't know about the fitness of Hugh McFadden, if he's available. And Killybegs would probably definitely need him if they want to advance in this game. It's a young enough Killybegs team. The way that Dunfin performed in the top flight this year, I won't be surprised if they won again for a third time down in Fintra.
Glenswilly have been relegated. I know that Michael Murphy back now. Obviously, he was back for that relegation playoff as well. But they have a tough one against Niamh Connell at home on Sunday.
They have. I know they are at home, and there have been some great battles between these clubs in the past. But, on the present form, I think Glenswilly will probably be looking at other games that they might accumulate points to qualify for quarterfinals. But the fact that Niamh Connell are on that side of the draw and they could. I know that Killybegs in the second round, but they could meet some of the big guns in the last two games, and I think they'll probably be targeting these open two games to get points on the board and maybe make it a little bit easier for them when the draw is made for the third and fourth round. So I would fancy them to win.
Kilcar obviously already have the League One. They're one of the top three, and some people are really fancying them. They've got Barry O'Hagan in training them this year as well. They're at home to Milford, who have really struggled, haven't they?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say they've actually, haven't struggled. They were there. They didn't have Kane Bard, I think, for their playoff game. He has been centre to them for much of the year. You wouldn't expect them to go to Towny and get a result. Kilcar would be expecting to win that game with everybody back and the firepower that they have up front. You'd expect that Kilcar won and maybe won comfortably.
And the final game is Gweedore. We mentioned them obviously only a couple of years ago. They were winning Ulster titles, and we thought we were going to see an awful lot more of them. They've dropped back. Trevor Alcorn in there this year. They're home to Ardra.
Yeah, it's probably a good enough opening game for them. Ardra, probably one of their poorest seasons, relegated from Division 1 for the first time in a long, long time. Just hasn't been going well for them, and you couldn't expect them to go to Gweedore and get a result. Gweedore have to go to Glenfinn in the second game, and Ardra have Éireann at home, so they'll probably be thinking more, maybe putting eggs in the second round basket, and Gweedore probably won't relish going to Glenfinn the following week, so they'll probably be all up to get someone on the board starting off this weekend, and I can't see anything other than a Gweedore win.
There you have it. That's Peter Campbell of the Donegal Democrat in conversation with Tom Comack. So a busy weekend of fixtures right across the the different competitions. Intermediate Football Championship gets things up and running here in Donegal on Friday evening. Mallon against Burt, Neave Columba against Neave Mora Convoy, and Terman against Neave Mora. That's the three games that are on in the Intermediate Football Championship on Friday. Then the games continue through Saturday and Sunday. And the Derry Senior Club Championship got underway last night. And Tom Comack has been looking forward to the championship with Michael McMullen of Gaelic Life.
Championship, Michael, getting up and running this weekend. Indeed, you had a game last night with Mara Felt having a big win over the Loop.
Yeah, a great start for them, Tom. As I said to you, I was chatting before about just the whole fact that the league was sort of non-existent. It was very little to have any form to gauge because they were sort of glorified friendly games with no county players, but Maher Felt have got Damien Barton and Brian McGuckin in charge of him this year, and Brian was with Damien when he was the Derry manager, so it's an experienced duo and a great start, 217 to 10 points. Dan Higgins got a goal in the first half, Ryan Ferris got a goal in the first half and Dan Higgins in the second, but five Paddy McLaren points and a very impressive Conor Kieran's performance has definitely put them into the contenders bracket. Not that they were that far away, like they were champions in 2019 and lost the final the following year. So they've put their names out as one of the teams that's going to be in the shake-up.
Yeah, and you've got one other game tomorrow night. That's Friday. That's Banner at home to Swatra. Two games on Saturday and then the remainder on Sunday. Glenn, the reigning champions, won it for the first time in a long time last year. Obviously, they're going to be in the running again. Are they the team to beat this year?
Yeah, they probably are. Like, you know, assessed a few ones over the winter. Like, the Glenn won the championship with an average winning margin of 13 points per game. Over the championship, which is amazing. And they were comprehensive winners over Slantleal in the final, so you can't argue with anything there. Obviously, I suppose the question mark will be how hungry are they the second year? Conor Carvel's currently out injured and Kieran McFall's unavailable. But that said, you know, they have a very, very talented team, and you know, and Malik O'Rourke, Ryan Porter, Johnny Bradley, you know, a very experienced management team that know what the story is, so they definitely will be the team to beat. Probably with Slapneil coming back with bucket loads of hurt from last year's final, that's probably the team that'll push them. You know, that will be seen to push them all away. So throw in Maher Felt from last night, and Lavi, I suppose, have been promising for a wee while, and they took Slapneil to extra time last year, Tom, and probably should have beat them. Only they just couldn't finish them off. Slantleal were sort of hanging on the ropes and actually finished stronger. So those are probably the teams. And then there's probably five or six teams with the likes of two-time champions Cole Rainers still in the middle of it as well. And but, you know, as we spoke off air, with it being a group stage championship, four groups of four, where it's first versus fourth, realistically, it'll be the quarterfinals before there's any sparks. But in addition, this year, our championship is going from 16 teams to 12. So four are going to be shaved off this year, which adds quite a bit into it. Into 2023.
How is that going to be done, Michael?
Well, once there's going to be a series of relegation playoffs, you know, and with four teams going down at the end of that, and that'll all come out of the group stages. So nobody gets knocked out after the group stages, and then teams will advance to the quarterfinals, and then you'll have playoffs to get relegated. And I suppose it's like every county, the senior championship is the shop window. It's where clubs want to be, and 16 teams into 12 doesn't go, and there's going to be four very disappointed teams come the end of the year, which will add a wee bit more intrigue, well, quite a bit more intrigue into this year's championship.
Yeah, because up to now, really, the position in your group was about the only thing you were playing for, and obviously, the higher up those challenging teams could finish, the better, avoid meeting the top seeded sides. Tell me, obviously, there'll be a lot of interest in Steelstown this year. Obviously, went up from intermediate, won the All Ireland.
Yeah, they won the intermediate last year, and they were really, really impressive. Like, I was at two or three of their games, and I watched the final on telly. I couldn't get to it. I was working, and really, really impressive team. But they haven't pushed on at all this year. But at the start of the year, the chat coming out of the camp was that they decided not to train for a few, you know, whatever, few months after the championship had ended. Because, to be fair, there was nothing to train for, because you have a league's, you have a league that doesn't mean anything. They would have had Ben McCarron on county duty. Donica Gilmore, a very promising player for them, had a cruciate injury, and then you had three or four boys who are away in America. So, but the only thing is, that said, they probably should have had enough to push on and have a more competitive season than they did. But the thing about it is, the league didn't really mean anything. You know, that's the thing about it. But I think most people in the county are expecting them to push on, you know, up into the senior ranks, because the more teams you can get, and especially if Derry can, if Derry are going to, you know, progress as a county even more, you're going to need a wee bit more out of the city. So that's, that Steelstown would be, I suppose, the number one club to do that.
So really, everybody's looking to Glen and how they take to the season.
I think so. Glen, Slant Neil, you know, they have sort of been the form teams, and I suppose it comes off the back of underage, where whenever Glen were basically dominating Ulster at minor level and under 21 level, Slant Neil were probably the next best team to them. They just couldn't beat them. And I suppose fast forward on to senior level, and that's sort of where teams are. And Maher Felt obviously have a, you know, very well coached players coming up through the ranks. Won a championship, very nearly won another one, and have now got a new management team, and that always brings freshness. But you know, if you look at Derry's campaign this year, like Conor McCluskey is probably one of the best players in Ireland. He's probably, and you know, he's probably, there's a good chance he could end up in the running for Young Player of the Year, and he's in there. Conor Kearns is another attacking dimension from their defence. You know, Owen Lynch and goals. The two Heavern brothers, there's a young fella, Cormac Bateson, has come in with county minor experience. You know, that's just off the top of the head. And that's, you know, they've good age profile. They've a good age profile in there. And as I said, a fresh management team. So it'll be interesting to see how they do as the season goes on. But last night will have done them no harm.
So that's Michael McMullen of Gaelic Life speaking to Tom Comack, and thanks to Tom for those interviews. By the way, Tom has also been chatting to Donegal manager Barry Ward ahead of the Buncrana Cup final, which is on this coming Saturday. Donegal taking on Tyrone in that decider. Throw-in is at 1:30 at the Scarvey in Buncrana. Get along to that game if you can. And that interview with Barry Ward will be up on our website in the sports section over, possibly up tomorrow. Well, as we mentioned earlier, those intermediate football championship games that are on this Friday night, Mallon against Burt, Neave Columba against Convoy, and Termon against Neave Mora, those are the start of what's another busy weekend of action. The senior football championship gets up and running on Saturday. Four Masters against Clonmacnoise throws in at 5:00. St Eunan's against St Noel's at 6:30. And St Michael's against Sean McCool's at 7:30. Some big games there. There's intermediate action as well on Saturday. Dunloe against Fannet Gaels and Buncrana against Downings. The Dunloe game, excuse me, is at 7:00. The Buncrana match is at 7:30. There are games as well on Saturday in the Junior Championship, including Letterkenny Gaels against Carndonagh and Uris against Robert Emmetts. Back to the Senior Championship then, and on Sunday, another selection of matches. Killybegs against Glenfinn throws in at 1:30. Glenswilly play Neave Connell at 2:30. Gweedore against Ardra is at 3:00, and it's the same time for Kilcare against Milford. And Éirua play Bundoran at 4:00. And there are matches as well on Sunday in the Intermediate Football Championship, with Red Hughes against Neave Breed, and in the Junior Championship as well. Among the big games there, Neave Ulton against Neave Padraic of Muff. Well, that's about it for this evening. Thanks to my guests tonight, to Joe, who engineered, and thanks to you for listening. Chris Ashmore will be in studio for Friday Morning Sport after the 8:30 news. From myself, Jeremy Doherty, have a very good evening.